to VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On today's program, Faith Perlow talks all about hyphens in this week's Ask a Teacher. We close the show by hearing the American story, The Lady in Black, by Eleanor H. Porter. But first, Katie Weaver and I take a look at the upcoming summer movie season.
It is Memorial Day weekend in the United States, a time many Americans consider the official start of summer. And that means the start of summer movie season, too. The film industry in Hollywood, California, has produced some high-budget action films led by major movie stars that will open in the coming days and weeks. At least one is expected to be a blockbuster. Top Gun: Maverick is a Paramount Pictures film starring Tom Cruise. It just opened May 27th, after 2 years of pandemic postponements. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer said he never reconsidered his early decision to delay the film's release until movie theaters were open again. He said he thinks the film requires a big screen for full enjoyment. The filmmakers used a complex mix of camera equipment to get shots from high above the ground and inside military fighter airplanes. It's the kind of movie that embraces the experience of going to the theater. It takes you away. It transports you. We always say we're in the transportation business. We transport you from one place to another, and that's what Top Gun does, Bruckheimer said.
The movie industry has already had several notable hits in the past 6 months, too, including Spider-Man: No Way Home. The film is now the third highest-selling film of all time. The Batman, The Lost City, and Everything Everywhere All at Once also saw considerable profits. Hollywood hopes the momentum will only increase in the coming months. We're still waiting for older audiences to come back, but it really feels like we've turned a corner, said Jim Orr, a top official with Universal Pictures. Before the pandemic, the summer movie season could produce over $4 billion in admissions sales. That is about 40% of the year's total sales, reports Comscore Media Research Company. But in 2020, theaters were closed for the majority of the season, and summer ticket sales fell sharply to $176 million. Last summer brought a clear improvement with $1.7 billion in sales. But the total was still not close to normal earnings of the past. Many movie makers chose to either delay releases further or to release films online. Now, everyone is centered on theatrical releases. The ticketing service Fandango recently questioned more than 6,000 ticket buyers. The company said 83% of people said they planned to see three or more movies in the theaters this summer. Streaming services may suffer. Netflix last month reported its first loss in streaming accounts in 10 years. It said it expects to lose 2 million accounts by summer's end. Finally, it is movie time, with blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster, said Adam Aron. He is chairman and CEO of AMC Theaters, the nation's largest theater corporation. He praised movie series like Doctor Strange 2, Top Gun 2, and Jurassic World Dominion, which comes out June 10th.
Later in the summer, moviegoers can see actor Chris Hemsworth's return as the lead in Marvel Cinematic Universe's Thor series. The third installment, Thor: Love and Thunder, comes out July 8th. Hemsworth has played Thor from the series' beginning in 2011. This time, however, Hemsworth also served as a top producer on the film. Adam Aron also noted what he called new film concepts that open this summer, like director Jordan Peele's movie Nope. Like his other films, Peele combines science fiction and horror in a story of a community that witnesses a mysterious and powerful event. Nope is set for release July 22nd. Paul Dargabedian is the lead media expert for Comscore. He said the movie business this summer could reach the heights it saw in 2019. On their own, Thor and other superhero movies cannot support a healthy or especially appealing film world, experts suggest. The industry needs to make different kinds of movies for theaters to survive. We have something for every audience, said Orr, the Universal Pictures official. Along with Jurassic Park, Universal's summer movies include animated family films, thrillers, and horrors. Funny movies called comedies are also waiting for release. Universal's Easter Sunday tells a story about a large Filipino-American family that gathers to observe a major holiday. But some members do not get along and behave badly and humorously. The movie opens August 5th. If you are a book lover, several summer films may hold special appeal, like Where the Crawdads Sing, from director Olivia Newman. The movie is based on the 2018 book of the same name by writer Delia Jones. It tells about a poor, uneducated girl left by her parents to raise herself. The film is set in North Carolina in the 1950s and 60s, with Daisy Edgar Jones starring as Kaya. Bullet Train, starring Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock, is based on the Japanese book Maria Beetle by Kotaro Isaka. The movie is a thriller and a comedy about a trained killer who wants to get out of the assassination business. It will arrive in theaters August 5th. Many summer movies will be available on streaming services too. But producer Jerry Bruckheimer suggests there is room for both online and theater presentation. It all depends on the movies. It's always about the movies. If there's stuff people want to see, they're going to show up, he said. He added, you have a kitchen in your apartment or home, but you like to go out to eat. You want a different meal. I'm Katie Weaver.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question from Yusra from Egypt about the use of hyphens when making a compound adjective. Hello, my name is Yusra from Egypt. I would like to know when I should use a hyphen between two words like top selling or well-being. Thanks. Dear Yusra, thank you for your question. In this week's program, we will explain how to use hyphens to make compound adjectives. A hyphen is used to combine two or more words together to create a compound word. Do not confuse a hyphen with a longer dash. In writing, we use a longer dash like a comma or period to separate sentences. Compound adjectives are modifiers formed by combining adjectives with other adjectives, nouns, and even adverbs. We use them as a single expression to describe the noun that comes after. The compound adjective top selling from your question is a great example. The top selling employee had the most sales for the month. Here, the two adjectives, top and selling, are combined into one to describe the employee. Top selling means having the most sales. We use hyphens to create compound adjectives, but there are some important rules for creating them with hyphens. 1. Only use a hyphen when the two words could be misunderstood, and the compound adjective acts together as a single expression. Here's an example. The well-behaved cat slept all day. No hyphen. Incorrect. The well-behaved cat slept all day. Hyphen. Correct. In this example, well-behaved acts like one expression. If we separate the two words, well and behaved, the sentence does not make sense, and it could be misunderstood. 2. Use only a hyphen in a compound adjective when it comes before a noun. Example, I love old-fashioned clothes. Hyphen, correct. I love clothes that are old-fashioned. Hyphen, incorrect. I love clothes that are old-fashioned. No hyphen, correct. 3. You do not need a hyphen between an adverb and an adjective, especially when using a present participle adjective or a past participle adjective. The urgently needed doctor arrived on time. Hyphen, incorrect. The urgently needed doctor arrived on time. No hyphen, correct. These are just a few basic rules to help you create compound adjectives when writing or speaking. Please let us know if these rules, explanations, and examples have helped you, Yusra. Next week on Ask a Teacher, we will explore using hyphens to create compound nouns. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
Now, the VOA program, American Stories. Our story today is called The Lady in Black. It was written by Eleanor H. Porter. Here is Faith Lapidus with the story.
The house was very still. In the little room over the porch, the lady in black sat alone. Near her, a child's white dress lay across a chair. On the floor at her feet lay a tiny pair of shoes. A doll hung over a chair, and a toy soldier occupied the little stand by the bed. And everywhere was silence. The strange silence that comes only to a room where the clock has stopped ticking. The clock stood on the shelf near the end of the bed. The lady in black looked at it. She remembered the wave of anger that had come over her when she had reached out her hand and silenced the clock that night 3 months before. It had been silent ever since, and it should remain silent, too. Of what possible use were the hours it would tick away now? As if anything mattered, with little Kathleen lying out there, white and still under the black earth.
Mother!
The lady in black moved restlessly and looked toward the closed door. Behind it, she knew, was a little boy with wide blue eyes who wanted her. But she wished he would not call her by that name. It only reminded her of those other little lips, silent now.
Mother!
The voice was more demanding. The lady in black did not answer. He might go away, she thought, if she did not answer. There was a short silence, and then the door opened slowly.
Peek!
It was a cry of joyful discovery, but it was followed almost immediately by silence. The unsmiling woman did not invite him to come near. The boy was unsteady at his first step. He paused, then spoke carefully.
Here?
It was maybe the worst thing he could have said. To the lady in black, it was a yet more painful reminder of that other one who was not there. She gave a sharp cry and covered her face with her hands.
Bobby! Bobby!
She cried out in a release of unreasoning sadness.
Go away! Go away! I want to be alone! Alone!
All the brightness fled from the boy's face. His eyes showed a feeling of deep hurt. He waited, but she did not move. Then, with a half-quieted cry, he left the room. Long minutes afterward, the lady in black raised her head and saw him through the window. He was in the yard with his father, playing under the apple tree.
Playing!
The lady in black looked at them with serious eyes, and her mouth hardened at the corners. Bobby had someone to play with him, someone to love him and care for him, while out there on the hillside, Kathleen was alone, all alone. With a little cry, the lady in black sprang to her feet and hurried into her own room. Her hands shook as she pinned on her hat and covered herself with her black veil. But her step was firm as she walked downstairs and out through the hall. The man under the apple tree rose hurriedly and came forward. "Helen, dearest, not again today," he begged. "Darling, it can't do any good." "But she's alone, all alone. You don't seem to think. No one thinks. No one knows how I feel. You don't understand. If you did, you'd come with me. You wouldn't ask me to stay here," choked the woman. "I have been with you, dear," said the man gently. "I've been with you today and every day, almost since she left us. But it can't do any good, this continuous mourning over her grave. It only makes more sadness for you, for me, and for Bobby. Bobby is here, you know, dear." "No, no, don't say it," cried the woman wildly. "You don't understand. You don't understand." And she turned and hurried away, followed by the worried eyes of the man and the sad eyes of the boy. It was not a long walk to the burial place. The lady in black knew the way, yet she stumbled and reached out blindly. She fell before a little stone marked Kathleen. Near her, a gray-haired woman, with her hands full of pink and white roses, watched her sympathetically. The gray-haired woman paused and opened her lips as if she would speak. Then she turned slowly and began to arrange her flowers on a grave nearby. The lady in black raised her head. For a time she watched in silence. Then she threw back her veil and spoke. "You care, too," she said softly. "You understand. I've seen you here before, I'm sure. And was yours a little girl?" The gray-haired woman shook her head. "No, dearie, it's a little boy. Or he was a little boy 40 years ago."
40 years? So long. How could you have lived 40 years without him?"
Again the little woman shook her head. "One has to, sometimes, dearie. But this little boy wasn't mine."
"But you care. You understand. I've seen you here so often before."
"Yes. You see, there's no one else to care. But there was once, and I'm caring now for her sake."
"For her?"
"His mother."
"Oh." It was a tender little cry, full of quick sympathy.
The eyes of the lady in black were on the stone marked Kathleen.
"It ain't as if I didn't know how she'd feel," said the gray-haired woman. "You see, I was nurse to the boy when it happened, and for years afterward I worked in the family, so I know. I saw the whole thing from the beginning, from the very day when the little boy here met with the accident."
"Accident?" It was a cry of concern and sympathy from Kathleen's mother.
"Yes, it was a runaway, and he didn't live 2 days.
I know," choked the lady in black. Yet she was not thinking of the boy and the runaway horse accident.
"Things stopped then for my mistress, and that was the beginning of the end. She had a husband and a daughter, but they didn't seem to be important, not either of them. Nothing seemed important except this little grave out here. She came and spent hours over it, bringing flowers and talking to it."
The lady in black raised her head suddenly and quickly looked into the woman's face. The woman went on speaking.
"The house got sadder and sadder. She didn't seem to mind. She seemed to want it so. She shut out the sunshine and put away many of the pictures. She sat only in the boy's room, and there, everything was just as it was when he left it. She wouldn't let a thing be touched. I wondered afterward that she didn't see where it was all leading to. But she didn't.
Leading to? The voice shook.
Yeah, I wondered she didn't see she was losing 'em, that husband and daughter. But she didn't see it.
The lady in black sat very still. Even the birds seemed to have stopped their singing. Then the gray-haired woman spoke.
So, you see, that's why I come and put flowers here. It's for her. There's no one else now to care, she sighed, rising to her feet.
But you haven't told yet what happened, said the lady in black softly.
Oh, I don't know myself, really. I know the man went away. He got something to do traveling, so he wasn't home much. When he did come, he looked sick and bad. He come less and less, and he died. But that was after she died. He's buried over there beside her and the boy. The girl, well, nobody knows where the girl is. Girls like flowers and sunshine and laughter and young people, you know? And she didn't get any of them at home. So she went where she did get 'em, I suppose. There, and if I haven't gone and tired you all out with my talking, said the little gray-haired woman regretfully.
No, no, I was glad to hear it, said the lady in black, rising unsteadily to her feet. Her face had grown white, and her eyes showed a sudden fear.
But I must go now. Thank you.
And she turned and hurried away. The house was very still when the lady in black reached home. She shivered at its silence. She hurried up the stairs, almost with guilt. In her own room, she pulled at the dark veil that covered her face. She was crying now, a choking little cry with broken words running through it. She was still crying as she removed her black dress. Long minutes later, the lady, in black no longer, moved slowly down the stairway. Her eyes showed traces of tears, but her lips were bravely curved in a smile. She wore a white dress and a single white rose in her hair. Behind her, in the little room over the porch, a tiny clock ticked loudly on its shelf near the end of the bed. There came a sound of running feet in the hall below. Then,
"Mother! It's Mother come back!"
shouted a happy voice. And with a little sobbing cry, Bobby's mother opened her arms to her son.
The Lady in Black was written by Eleanor H. Porter. It was adapted by Lawan Davis, who was also the producer. The storyteller was Faith Lapidus. I'm Bob Doty.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.